is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
All eyes on Samarkand, the ancient city-state, and now in Uzbekistan, dominating Central Asian life for thousands of years. But this particular meeting is not about the architectural gems, nor about the legacy of the Silk Road is modern, reaching back 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years of Central Asia civilization. The eyes are on two men who lead the powers of Eurasia, Vladimir Putin of Moscow, President of the Russian Federation, and Xi Jinping of the People's Republic of China, the General Secretary, meeting for the first time since last February during the Beijing Winter Olympics, when at the time we were led to believe that Xi was endorsing and supporting his ally, Mr. Putin. And I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft to comment on the meeting that we're told is underway in Samarkand as a sidebar to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is an important entity, transnational entity, created by Beijing, but is now the centerpiece of concern and interest for major states. India is a member, as well as Turkey. And these meetings are about the future of Eurasia at the same time, what is to be done about Ukraine. And this is TASS reporting. Vladimir Putin told Xi Jinping he understands the Chinese leader's concerns about Ukraine, adding that Russia condemns U.S., quote, provocations over Taiwan. This is a report from the opening of the session from TASS, the details not available. Anatole, a very good day to you. What's in it for Xi? What's in it for Putin? That's the short version of this meeting. I want to begin with Vladimir Putin. At this moment, we have fog of war in Ukraine, but clearly there have been deterioration along the Donbass line for the Russian forces. What comes next is either counteroffensive or winter. What is in this meeting for Vladimir Putin, to your understanding? Good day to you.
Hello, John. Well, it's clear, what Putin wants and indeed desperately needs is Chinese help. The Russians do not expect the Chinese ever to send troops to help them in Ukraine, but they do really want the Chinese to provide them with weapons. Because Russian weapon supplies are running short, and of course with economic aid to bolster them against Western sanctions. But so far, China has been very cautious about this, and Russia's recognition of China's concerns came out in Putin's statement, because of course the Chinese did not want the Russians to attack Ukraine. They didn't agree to it. They didn't vote in support of Russia, though they also have not agreed to Western sanctions. And the Chinese are afraid that Western sanctions could be also imposed on them, which I think, President Xi, his whole strategy is about preparing for this in the long term by making China self-sufficient. But he doesn't want this to happen before China is ready. So the Chinese have been, have expressed sympathy with Russia, but they've been very cautious about supporting Russia. Any Chinese weapons supplies have been given indirectly via North Korea and on a relatively small scale. But on the other hand, if the Chinese government thinks that both the West is determined to destroy Russia as a state, and undoubtedly the Chinese government would interpret the destruction of the Putin regime as the destruction of the Russian state, and the two, one might very well lead to the other, then in my view they would feel that they had no choice but to give massive support to Russia. Once again, not sending Chinese troops, but really significant military aid and economic aid. Because, of course, if Russia were destroyed as a state or severely crippled, it would leave China badly isolated. And it would also threaten key Chinese supplies of energy and of food. So I think what the Chinese are really anxious for is a peace deal in Ukraine. But of course, this is now extremely difficult. It's not clear what the Russian terms anymore are, and it's certainly not clear that either the West or Ukraine could offer any terms that Russia could possibly accept. So the Chinese are in a pretty severe bind here. I would expect that they will give more help to Russia, but at this point, at least, well short of what Russia wants and needs.
You, we all recall at the end of June the meeting of NATO in Spain, in Madrid, and the strategic concept document that was distributed afterwards. And it named Beijing and Moscow as the adversaries, those two capitals, singled them out. And there were lists of Beijing's bad acting and certainly Russia's bad acting. Did that help Vladimir Putin? That he was grouped
enormously.
It grouped in with Beijing, and does it continue to help Vladimir Putin that Beijing is under assault, I guess, under pressure from the same people who are putting pressure on Moscow?
Well, absolutely. I mean, seen from China, you know, the Western plan is first to knock out Russia, and then, you know, to concentrate on isolating and putting pressure on China, and of course, you know, a stronger US military help to Taiwan. I mean, that is why the Chinese will not allow, I think, or will do their utmost to prevent a total Russian defeat, which is not to say that they, you know, that they're going to try and support a total Russian victory. I mean, they never have, and in any case, you know, nobody believes in China. But it must be said, I mean, much of Western strategy and still more Western rhetoric and gestures like Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, actions like the present Senate bill to give direct, you know, military aid, greatly increased direct military aid to Taiwan. I mean, all of these things could be designed to push China together with Russia, and are to a great extent succeeding in doing so. I mean, in the longer run, I think assuming that Russia does survive as a state, the growing, certainly economic alliance of China and Russia is now inescapable, because Russia has two things that China desperately needs. It has energy, which can be delivered to China over land, so it's not subject to possible American blockade. And perhaps even more importantly, actually, it has food, because China is, you know, facing, especially with climate change, severe food deficiencies in future. And that Russia does export on a huge scale. So there are, you know, immense economic as well as geopolitical forces pushing them together. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, Russia's only real card now is the danger that Russia will indeed be defeated and collapsed. Because from every other point of view, China holds all the cards. You know, Russia is under sanctions. It can't export its energy to the West anymore. It can't export other things. It's losing the war. So in the short term, Russia needs China much more than China needs Russia. In the longer term, that may not be entirely the case, because, as I say, of energy and food supplies.
Yes, a detail here, the mention of Taiwan in the statement via TASS, said to be from the conversations between the two leaders. Russia has a fleet in the Pacific. Are we contemplating Russia lending a hand in the event of a catastrophe and the Chinese moving militarily against Taiwan?
Well, I mean, in the first place, you know, compared to the Chinese Navy, the Russian Navy is now, you know, very weak. I mean, it would help a bit, but secondly, I mean, Russia, I think, would only do that. So I'm not, I don't quite, you know, see how much the Chinese would need that. But in any case, I mean, Russia would only take a risk like that in return for massive Chinese aid. And since, as I say, no expert I've talked to, and certainly no Chinese official, says that China is going to send its own forces to help Russia in Ukraine, it's, you know, it's not easy to see why Russia should send forces to help China in Taiwan, unless, as I say, the Chinese are prepared to give, you know, a great deal to Russia in return.
I just was puzzled by that mention of Taiwan between the two leaders. So what we have here is...
Well, Russia just wants to do everything it possibly can at the moment to please the Chinese, because it, you know, it desperately needs more weaponry and more money. You know, without that, it's looking, you know, increasingly possible that Russia could actually lose this war.
And that would be a blow to the Chinese, to the People's Republic of China, and to Xi's ambitions. Is that how you measure this? China can't afford to have Russia lose.
It can't afford to have Russia lose completely. You know, the Chinese would, I think, favor a compromise peace, which you know, left Russia without anything resembling the aims it set out to achieve. But equally, I mean, you know, with powerful voices in the West and, of course, the Ukrainians now aiming at total defeat of the Russians, including loss of Crimea and of the whole of the Donbass, which I think probably would bring down the Putin regime. You know, the Chinese also, I think, cannot accept that.
Does she need Putin? Can he carry on with a replacement to Putin? Are these two men wed?
No. I mean, she is not personally wed to Putin in that way. But, you know, if you talk to Chinese analysts, I mean, they see Russia as, you know, a bit like Libya or Iraq, in that they think that, you know, the collapse of the Putin regime would bring, or even like, you know, the Soviet Union with communism, the collapse of the regime could also bring about the collapse of the state. So, I mean, Xi would certainly accept and possibly even welcome a replacement of Putin who holds the state together. But Xi would dread, of course, the overthrow of Putin by some kind of popular uprising leading to a collapse of the Russian state. That would be a nightmare for the Chinese.
Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping in conversation. I'm sure we'll learn more in these coming days. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. The funeral in London within these next days. Observations by Anatole about the long reign of Queen Elizabeth II and the challenges for Charles III. I'm John Batchelor.